Holy Gospel. We used to be best buddies. I'll quit, I promise. This is a gospel, the gospel of St. Matthew. We're journeying through Matthew this summer, and the overall theme throughout the whole summer is discipleship. And there are different aspects of discipleship that Christ is trying to teach us. This is Matthew chapter 15. I will be proclaiming verse 10 to 20, and then 21 to 28. So, verse 10 to 28. If you're listening on the radio, we are in Matthew chapter 15, verse 10 to 28. Welcome to those listening to a worship service on the radio. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Verse 21, Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a devil." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to gather and worship your holy name. I thank you for your presence here with us, that you will touch each and every heart here by the power of your Spirit exactly the way we need to receive your blessings and healing in our life. I pray, Lord, that you would Your word would take root into our hearts so that our lives might bear an abundance of good fruit to the glory of your holy name. And I pray all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks again for being here, everybody. What a blessing and a gift to be back. We just love Petersburg, and it was great to see my mom and dad. And thank you for offering us the opportunity to take time off and to refresh and to renew and to revive. And then to come back. It's just great to be back. While we were down in Alton, Illinois, Ying and I and the girls, we drove to Branson, Missouri, which is about a 4.5-5-hour drive south. In Branson is a theme park. It's called Silver Dollar City. Silver Dollar City was established in 1960. Their big sign is your greatest past lies just ahead of you, something like that. Everybody's dressed in the 1890s, you know, bonnets and all that. All their rides go way back, you know, the Fire in the Hole, the Outlaw Run was actually featured on Discovery Channel as the number one roller coaster in the nation at this time right now. Outlaw Run, it's amazing. It was amazing. It was a wonderful time. You know, that you can go and watch. They have glass blowers, candle makers, all the stuff like they used to do. They have a wilderness church, everything like it used to be back at the turn of the century. Whatever, you know what I'm talking about. While we were there, we never take in a show. We go there for Silver Dollar City, and that's it. It's complete. They got fireworks at night, everything. It was awesome. But before I left here, somebody from Petersburg said, you really got to take in a show at the Sights and Sound Theater. I said, well, what's the Sights and Sound Theater? Well, there's only two theaters in the United States. It's called Sights and Sound. One's in Branson, Missouri. The other's in Pennsylvania. And what they do is they put on like Broadway type of musicals that are all biblically based, biblical themes. So what was showing while we were down there was Jonah and the whale. Remember Jonah and the great fish? Jonah. It's a great, great story. So at the recommendation of this person from Petersburg, we went. It was awesome. I've been to Broadway. I've seen Les Mis on Broadway twice. I've seen The Lion King in Chicago. I've been blessed. I've seen Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. This was Broadway quality. It was so awesome. Jonah. You remember the story. Jonah is so upset with God because God calls him to preach forgiveness to the Ninevites. The Ninevites are their arch enemies of the Jews. Jonah doesn't want to do it because he knows God is so merciful. So Jonah runs. God calls him to go this way. Jonah goes the other way. It's awesome. It was such a... So he gets swallowed by this great fish, and he sinks to the bottom of the ocean. And in the middle of this, Jonah says a beautiful prayer asking God to forgive him for not being obedient to the call on his life. So Jonah then reluctantly goes back to Nineveh, and he preaches, 40 days more, Nineveh will be destroyed. Thus saith the Lord. And he very reluctantly preaches that message. Then he goes off, and he goes up to a hill to watch God destroy them. He's waiting. But you know the story. Nineveh actually repents. They fast and they pray and they ask God for mercy. And Jonah is so upset with God because God showed him mercy. They didn't deserve mercy. And Jonah said, where's the justice in that? They deserve to be, you know, hellfire and brimstone. And then at that moment, it was so beautiful. Instead of God, in the book of Jonah, it's God who comes and speaks to Jonah. But in the play, it was Jesus Christ who walked out and said, Jonah, you don't understand now. Justice will be paid for the sins of Nineveh and for the sins of the world. I'm going to send my son, and he's going to take those sins, and then mercy will flow. It was so beautiful. And that's the message of our gospel today. The disciples were up in foreign country. Tyre and Sidon is 50 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus takes the 12 disciples way up north. This is modern day southern Lebanon in the foothills of the mountains. So the climate has changed. They're on retreat with Christ. They're excited. But this woman comes and inconveniences them with her problem, with her need. So this woman, Jesus says in verse 28 of today's gospel, great is your faith. The Greek word is megas. For great, the Greek word for great is megas. From that word we get mega, mega faith. Jesus said this woman has mega faith. We've all heard of mega churches that we kind of say, oh, we don't want to go to a mega church because we have mega, whatever. Jesus said this woman has mega faith. I love that. I love that. So I wanted to look at the qualities of great faith. What are the qualities in this woman that constitutes mega faith or great faith? Why would Jesus say that this woman had great faith? Why, you know, as a matter of fact, in Matthew's gospel, only two times, and this is worth noting, two times does Jesus point out to a person and say, that person has great faith. This woman, and in Matthew chapter 8, there's a Roman centurion, the thing they both have in common. They're outsiders. They're not Jewish. They don't belong to the covenant. They're completely outside. The Jewish people look down on them. And Christ is saying, no, they have great faith. Whoa, this changes everything. This means that we're all equal in God's eyes. All of us are loved unconditionally by God. So the three qualities of great faith that we learn from this woman, number one is love. This woman had unconditional love for her daughter. It was her passionate love for her daughter that drove her to Jesus Christ, to worship Him. It was love which made her approach this stranger from Galilee. It was love which made her accept His silence, yet still make her appeal. It was love which made her suffer the apparent rebuffs of the disciples. Send that woman away. It was love that made her able to see the compassion beyond and behind the words of Jesus Christ. He was drawing from her the faith that He knew was in her. There is great faith, mega faith, in each and every one of us here today. And Christ is calling that out of each one of us. And His call and His gifts are irrevocable. That's our second reading today. That is so beautiful, so powerful. The disciples, the problem with them is they lacked compassion. When the disciples said, send her away, we don't know if they were actually saying, Lord, give her what she wants and send her away, or just send her away. We do know that she was bothering them. What we know about them is they lacked compassion. This woman had great faith because she had love and compassion. Her daughter was severely oppressed by a demon. We don't know what kind of oppression that was, but we do know today there are people who suffer from oppression. This last week we were rocked by the news that Robin Williams died. I was back in St. Louis, and in the postage batch, the St. Louis postage batch that comes to my mom and dad's house, their door, every day, there was a writer who wrote that Robin Williams suffered, and these are the words, oppressed by the twin demons of depression and addiction. It was really sad. It's just sad. It's really sad. All but for the grace of God, there go I. God has faith, has planted the seed of faith in your heart and in my heart, and every day draws that out. So we will walk more firmly in faith, not by sight, but by faith. That's what we're called to do. This woman had incredible love for her daughter. No matter what the demon possession it was, she knew that Christ was the only one that could provide a solution. So the first quality of great faith is love, compassion. The disciples lacked it. She had it. Ever respond that way? When somebody inconveniences you with their need? Ay, 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 just go away, I'm busy, I just sat down to dinner, or whatever. Now, I have to say, I actually do that to this congregation. Let me just say very briefly, thank you to the property management team. I can't thank the property management team enough, because you know how many times I call for help, and it's always because something happens. I got a call, it was Friday night this summer, Children's Center said, somebody smelled gas, fuel leaking from your fuel tank. And it was Friday at 5:25. I was like, great. Okay, so I went out there and I looked. Yeah, sure enough, there's a little gas leaking. We can't have that. So we put a little clause. Anyway, so I call the property management team. Dave Reamer, help. And every time I call Dave, he goes, glad to hear your voice, Mike. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? Every time you hear my voice, I need something. I don't mean to inconvenience you. Well, yeah, you laugh. Yesterday, Saturday, we had the Global Leadership Conference here summer. It was awesome. I hope to do it next summer, and I hope that you can come. Okay, so it was Friday. My wife got stung by a bee right out in front. I mean, right when I got back. Hi, kids, how you doing? Friday afternoon, she got stung by a bee. Oh, man, sorry, you know, that's happened. C'est la vie, sorry. You know, God's not saying that, whatever. It just happens. So the next day, I look up, and there's this massive bee's nest right over the garage. Property management team, what do? I was inconveniencing. I'm always inconveniencing you, and I thank you for your patience. So I was like, I tell you what, honey, this is what we do. We'll get a ladder, and I'll get some Raid, and I'll just spray the heck out of it. She's like, you're going to fall off the ladder, break a leg. I'll have to take you to the hospital. I said, well, you know, you're probably right there. So what do? Call the property manager. I said, no, I don't want Dave up there on the ladder, because that's what he'll do. So I said, Dave, I just need advice. Here's my plan. I'm going to tell you my plan. And I told him the plan. He said, sounds like a plan. Good idea. Let me know if you need anything. So I go down there and I get some Raid. And thank God for Peggy Moody. God bless her. She's like, no, you do not want to be on the ladder. She's like, spray's 22 feet on the can. I said, all right, fair enough. So I got the truck backed up there. I had everything covered. Yeah, I looked like a ninja guy. And I had one going this way and one going that way. And we got them. And so it was so strange looking that God bless Mar joined us. She drove up and said, what are you doing? Oh, hornet's nest. Right. So we at times inconvenience others, and we are inconvenienced by others, and we're called to respond in love and compassion. And you model that for me so many times. I can't thank you enough. The disciples, send her away, Lord. You know, this is a common thing for them. Remember when Jesus, the loaves and the fishes, there was a huge crowd? That was just the beginning of the month. A huge crowd, and the disciples were like, okay, look, the sun's setting. No doubt they're going to want our food. Send them away right now so they can get to town to buy. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. He's always drawn faith out of us. It's like, how? That's impossible. Precisely when we think something's impossible, that's when Christ wants to bust through with an answer. So we know there's only one who can answer our problems. We know that there's no way it's me. I've got to give all glory to God. All glory be to God. All glory. The second quality of great faith of this woman was her humility. This woman had a truly humble heart. The beatitude attitude, where you come begging in your spirit, meekly, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And even the Lord cannot put sufficient barriers in your way to hold you back. This is a great faith. The great faith, the mega faith of this woman is rooted in her humility. Her request is so humble, unbelievable. She bows down with her head in the dirt. The word worship in the Greek, we get the word prostrate. Prostrate, just face down. Have mercy on me. My daughter is in a bind. She needs help. She was so humble. She doesn't argue with Jesus. She says, Lord, help me. She doesn't get into a theological debate with Jesus. She just is so humble in her deep distress, no pride at all. Have you ever been so desperate that you say, Lord, I got to have help. I can't do it alone. If it's not for you, it's not going to... I'm sinking. That's Peter's prayer. Lord, help me, I'm sinking. I pray that prayer often. I really do. She didn't say, well, you Jews think you're better than others, don't you? No, she could have, but she didn't. She didn't cop an attitude when Jesus said, you know, I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. She remained humble in heart. She didn't come like so many of us at times in my life. I know I showed up at church before going, all right, Lord, I showed up. You better be thrilled. Aren't you happy? I'm missing a baseball game right now. Do something. You better show. All right, right now. Okay, I'm leaving in 45 minutes, and if you don't show up, I'm gone. She didn't do that. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. I'm yours. It's a complete absence of pride that this woman illustrates. Complete absence of self-reliance. Complete absence of self-sufficiency that this woman illustrates in our gospel today. And her faith is pointed out as great because it was rooted in humility. Don't forget Philippians chapter 2. St. Paul says that Jesus was in the form of God, something to be grasped at, something to be meditated on, because he humbled himself, obediently took the form of a slave. So Jesus is our model in humility. The third quality of great faith is this woman's indomitable persistence. My goodness, she was a persistent person. She was undiscourageable. This woman came to Jesus not as a possible helper, not as one who might be able to help her, but as the only one who could answer her request. That's how she came to Jesus Christ. She came in deadly earnest. Prayer for her was no ritual form. Now, I know sometimes I fall prey to that. We pray a meal prayer at the house from the small catechism. Bless us, the Lord. It's in here. Bless us, the Lord, and these are gifts we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ the Lord. Amen. You would be surprised how fast we can pray that prayer after a long day. And it's like, okay, slow down. Let's slow down. Nothing wrong with ritual prayer. I love it. I love it. I love praying the Lord's Prayer. But this woman was way past that. Lord, help me. I need help. She was desperate. She had indomitable persistence. That is the approach which cannot help finding an answer to its prayer. This woman stood in the gap between her child and Jesus Christ. And she hung on to both and would not give up until there was a connection. There was a connection between Christ and whatever the hopeless situation is. Have you ever been confronted with a hopeless situation? That might be God calling you to stand in the gap between whatever it is and Jesus Christ. We get called here at Petersburg Lutheran Church often to stand in the gap. During our Global Leadership Summit, Thursday and Friday, one of the speakers was a pastor from Chicago, Pastor Choco, he's from Puerto Rico. His name is Pastor Wilfredo de Jesus. They call him Pastor Choco because Choco means chocolate. And he likes to think that he's sweet. He kind of laughs. It's not. It's just kind of an inside joke. But he wrote a book called In the Gap. And he talks about this same problem. And for him in Chicago, the city of Chicago called him. It's an inner city church. He started years ago with 126 people coming every Sunday. They now have 7,000. And the city of Chicago came to him and said, we have a problem with prostitution. Can you help us? And he's like, well, what do you want me to do? But then he prayed. He talked to his church council and then he prayed about it. And he felt the Lord calling, talking to him about buy a farm. And he goes, he didn't know anything about farming. So the next Sunday he went up, church, we need a farm. The city wants us to help the prostitutes. I don't know what to do. God told me to buy a farm. Does anybody have a farm? Well, nobody had a farm. Nobody had money for a farm. He tried to raise money. He tried for 8 months in a row. Finally, this woman, this elderly woman came up to him, said, Pastor Choco, my great uncle died and he left me a farm. It's a couple miles out. It's not big, but you can have it. Praise the Lord. He started right there. And then he took one of his staff members go out and get five prostitutes. And she's like, Pastor, I'll pay them whatever they're charging. Pastor. So he had the church put on a beautiful banquet. Pulled out all the stuff. Beautiful banquet. And he sat them all down and treated them like royalty. And then preached the gospel to them. And he paid them. You are worth so much more than that. He gave them the hope of Jesus Christ. And now there are over 500 women who have been through that farm, who have been set free from prostitution because of his ministry. He stood in the gap. There was a problem. It looked hopeless. Like this woman in today's gospel. Her daughter looked hopeless. Jesus Christ has all hope. We're just called to stand in the gap at times. We are called to be people of great faith, mega faith. And it's not us, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. It's when we love with compassion. It's when we exercise humility. And it's when we persevere through the difficult times of life that God wants to use me, to move mountains. I'd like to close with a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for this beautiful church. We thank you, Lord, for the times we are called to stand in the gap. Give us the courage and the integrity and the humility and the compassion to continue to spread your love and your mercy to everyone we meet. Use our church, Lord, to be a bright light, a beacon of hope for those who are hopeless and desperate. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our hymn is Healer of Our Every Ill. It's number 612 in the Red Book.